Yo, 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 welcome back to the Snatch Edges podcast. It's me, your friendly neighborhood trichologist, Ebony, and I am back with a new episode for you guys. As I said last time, I think I did mention it, this is part of a series called My Hair Loss Story, where I get to talk to mostly Black women about the issues they faced during, you know, going through hair loss. So we'll be hearing from different people with all types of diagnoses, and some will be unknown, and hear about their journey from, you know, when they first noticed it happened, the professionals they came into contact with along the way, and treatments, and how it's really been for them. I really wanted to do this because I felt like in clinic I get to speak to a lot of people about how it makes them feel. But I don't necessarily get to share those stories. And rather than me kind of voicing how I feel about it, I wanted people to be able to talk about it themselves because, you know, I guess like the story is better from like the horse's mouth. And yeah, just there's so much shame and stigma around hair loss. It really is frustrating, especially when a lot of the conditions that people face aren't, you know, anything to do with how they've treated their hair at all. It's really just like conditions that occur sometimes spontaneously, sometimes because of genetics, sometimes because of like life events, but not that people have done something to themselves. And hair loss is something that a lot of people will experience in their lifetime. So I'm hoping that, you know, by listening to these stories, people who are experiencing hair loss will find some comfort that they aren't alone. And people who maybe haven't but know someone who is will find a better way to support the people around them. So yeah, I've got quite a few of these lined up. I'll be dropping one episode a week for the next couple of weeks. In other news, salon update. Apparently the government's saying we can go back to work on the 4th of July. I am not planning to go back at that time. I feel like it's really, really soon. I don't think the UK's been doing all they can to stop the spread of COVID. And so I'm still going to be at home kicking back for a little while just to kind of see, you know, what happens before then. But I will be letting people on my mailing list know as soon as I'm ready to open, and you guys will get priority slots on booking. So please make sure you are signed up. Also, the wash date is still continuing. It will probably continue until like that day. I don't think I'll do it past then. So that's probably about 4 more weekends where I'll be doing the free weekly wash day on a Sunday, where we can talk about your hair products, your routine, and just kind of like have a mini salon experience while we're all still social distancing. I've also started doing some braiding classes. So the first one is on Wednesday, the 3rd of June, and that will be learning how to do singles, so plaits and braids with extensions. Yeah, the tickets will be available from the link below. I hope you guys can make it, and yeah, I'm gonna let you guys enjoy the interview with Annette, whose diagnosis is currently unknown. If you are experiencing anything like this, I thought this is like the end of EastEnders, you know, it's like, oh yeah, if you are suffering from any of the problems mentioned in this episode, please contact myself if you're based in London, or while I'm still doing online consultations. You can find your local trichologist by searching up on Google. I'll put some links below to some directories that I know. Going to your GP is always a good shout to get some blood work done and to see if you can get recommended to a dermatologist. So yeah, kick back, enjoy. I will be back soon. All right, take care, thanks for listening.
Okay, so my name is Annette. I'm 28 years old, and I first started experiencing hair loss probably, I think, around March of last year. I didn't really notice it happening, but I think it was around that time.
Okay, so when you say you don't really feel like you notice it happening, when did you first notice it then?
Probably towards the end of March. I was like, oh, my hair is starting to thin on the sides. I think it started kind of on the left side at first, and I thought, this is really weird, and my scalp was feeling quite sore. but I don't know, I didn't really do anything about it because it wasn't so obvious. So I think I just kind of ignored it. And then when it got to April, I saw that the stain was mirroring on the other side of my head as well. And I just thought, okay, this is really strange. And it was then starting to become quite obvious. And then around May time, I started to go to my GP because I've been wearing headscarves from about the end of March onwards at that point, kind of constantly.
Yeah. So I guess maybe what you're saying to me then is that, like, I guess on some level you knew something was happening, but it didn't really seem like a big deal to be addressed. It's kind of like, okay, maybe there's something going on. You know, my scalp or hair feels a little bit different, but it wasn't until it really started affecting and become noticeable that you were like, okay, let me seek help. Did anybody else notice it at the time?
No, not really. Because I was covering up my hair so much. Like at work, no one would have noticed it. At home, not particularly. No, I didn't think so. It wasn't until it got to that point where I had to like show my mum, like, this is really strange, what's going on? And then my sister was like, okay, you need to go to the doctor and just figure it out. So I never saw the hair falling, so that's why I was like, where is what's happening?
Okay, so it was just like you noticed your scalp was just like, there was no, was it like patches of hair loss, or can you describe how it looked?
Yeah, so it's not improved. So it looks really weird. It's patches of hair loss at the sides of my hair. You can see like hair's trying to grow, but it's not. So it's very strange to explain. It's like little bits of hair around baldness, but not exactly baldness. It's very weird looking, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay, so what made you then first put on the headscarf and be like, okay, I need to kind of like, you know, stop people? Was it like what was the reasoning behind wearing the headscarf? Was it to stop people from seeing it, for you to feel confident, or what was it?
For people, in my head, I was so, because it's so weird, the middle of my hair grows fine. So it was like I had a Mohican. And so the middle of my hair was growing normally, and the size of my hair just looked really weird. And because my scalp was so sore, even though I was quite convinced that you could probably even see the bumps or the soreness on my scalp. So I just thought, okay, for my own confidence and just for other people, whether they could see it or not, I just wanted to cover it up completely.
And so why did you go to a GP rather than maybe going to like a hairdresser's, or like, what was it that told you maybe this is like, you know, something that I might need to see a doctor for?
So the year before, towards the end of 2018, I actually went to a trichologist. Because I have a little, I have problems with my scalp in general, and I've always had a little bit of a bald spot like towards the front of my hand. It's always been quite sore, so I went to that trichologist for that reason. I had a really, really bad experience with the trichologist, just the regime they gave me, the products, my hair did not take to it, and I tried explaining, but they said, oh, your hair's just not used to it, but it just didn't get any better. Yeah. So I stopped the whole regime around March, and that's also when everything started to happen. So I wasn't sure if that was linked or not, but I just thought, I'm not going back to a trichologist again. I was really kind of put off. So I thought, let me just go to my GP and see what they may have to say.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what was it like going to your GP for hair loss? Because I guess, was that the first time you'd visited them for that kind of reason?
Yeah, first time I visited them. I wasn't really expecting much. I mean, I'd done a little bit of research, and I just, on the NHS website, I don't really think there's that much help, or I don't know, there's not that much information about hair loss. It just kind of, it didn't seem like I was going to get anything out of it. But I just thought, let me just go anyway and see what he might say. And he could evidently see that there was a problem. But he did say, I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to refer you to a dermatologist at a hospital.
Okay.
He did prescribe me something to kind of soothe the inflammation on my scalp, but he admittedly said, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah. But it was quite easy for him to be like, listen, this is like, you know, maybe outside of the scope of things that I understand. Let me refer you to someone who can help.
Yes, he did. And he gave me a blood test as well, because I think he did that because he didn't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, just give me a blood test, take this ointment, and I'm going to refer you to the hospital for more support.
Okay, cool. And so I guess coming away from that appointment, how did you feel then?
Not any better at all. I thought, okay, let's see if this ointment works. My scalp was really painful. So I thought, okay, maybe it might just get better after this. But it didn't as well. And also when I finally got the letter for my referral, it was in 4 to 5 months' time.
Yeah.
So that was it for me. I was just really upset because I didn't know I couldn't go back to my doctor for any more support in between that time because he doesn't really know what to do. And I didn't know what to do in between that time either. So, it was between May. I didn't get my appointment till September. So, I was not happy.
Experience in between those 4 and 5 months of waiting, because it's it's serious enough for me to go to my GP now. I've had to change the way I style my hair by wearing headscarves. My scalp is tender and in pain, and now I've got to wait 5 months until I can see somebody who could help me. What does that even feel like? How does that leave you?
At that point, I think my mental health was just complete. My confidence was so low. At that point, so I just didn't know what to do. And also I realized that me wearing headscarves, it is summer, it was hot, I don't think my scalp liked it, so it was aggravating it even more. So I had to come to a point where I was like, no, you can't keep wearing headscarves constantly. So I took the decision to trim my hair. I go completely shaved, but I took the decision to trim my hair, so it was kind of even. The other parts weren't as obvious, but I think the scalp issue was still bothering me because it felt like my scalp was on fire. I just didn't know what to do at all, and it was troubling. I would call my mum up and start crying at night because I just didn't know what to do because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know why this was happening to me, and it was hard. It was a hard time between that.
Yeah, and so had you been growing your hair for a long time? What was I know for some people, cutting the hair can be a really big decision, and especially when it feels like it's out of your hands. Basically, you had to do it because your hair was breaking and losing it, and then having issues with trying to make it appropriate for your everyday life. Did you go to a barber's for that? Did you do it at home? What was the build up to cutting your hair?
So, I had locks for quite a while, but I think my hair couldn't really handle the weight up to a point. I had it for about 4 years. So I cut my locks. I think I cut them in 2017. And it wasn't my choice. I didn't want to. My hairdresser's like, you need to. And he shaved. And I remember that's the first time I shaved my hair off, quite low.
He just went big chop completely, all the locks gone. Mm-hmm. Wow. So why did your hairdresser say you needed to, the weight? Explain that to me a bit more, please.
So it wasn't even that long, but I think he said wherever I started off my locks, it wasn't right for my hair. The technique wasn't right.
Okay.
So even though it didn't feel that heavy to me, I think, I don't know if the weight has been twisted previously, but it started to get very thin.
Right.
In certain areas. So he just said, okay, he's like, you can keep it, but it's not going to do you any good. I think you just need to completely shave it off, cut it off, and then that's it. So I wasn't happy, but I did it. And I remember when I walked, I just at that point, because having hair around my shoulders, so having no hair at all, I couldn't fathom
it. Especially when it's the decision was kind of out, you had agreed to it, but not really. You're kind of
I was crying. I remember I was just what is going on? I felt very pushed into it. I don't know, but it happened. And you remember he just swooped my locks up and put it in a bin. It was just a separation I was not ready for.
Yeah.
And I remember walking out of the hairdresser's just feeling I felt so insecure. I wasn't used to it, and I felt really weird, and I was not happy. But
So when you booked your appointment for that day, was it for a haircut or were you going?
No, it was for a retwist, and I came out of no hair.
Wow. Yeah. So there wasn't even go home, think about it, or take a minute. It was just, No, your locks are mash up basically.
Yeah.
I can't do nothing about them. Let me just cut them off. And you were like, oh, and before you know it, they're all just gone.
They're gone. Yeah. Because he really started cutting and he was like, are you sure? I was like, you've cut the back already. What do you want me to do now? I can't walk out with it like this. So, So it was already gone. So from that point onwards, I'd been trying to grow my hair again. And my hair grows very slowly. So from 2017 to into 2018, it grew nicely. It was still quite, I have quite thin hair anyway, but it grew nicely. So I had no intention of cutting my hair again. And I liked having braids, but I didn't do it often. I probably did it every 6 months or so.
Okay.
So that's when I was grown out. So when I had to then revert back to cutting it again, that was, I was really disappointed because that was not part of the plan at all. But that was the only way for me to feel comfortable in between that time of me waiting for my appointment and stuff. So
wow. That's a roller coaster. I'm still just like, okay, I walked in to get a retwist and now I've come out with no hair.
I've come out with no hair. But like I said, he just started cutting it and there was nothing I could do. I don't know why he asked me after, are you sure? Because I said, you've already cut my hair. So I didn't go back after that. I didn't go back there.
Oh, no, I'm being for you, you know. I'm really...
I didn't go back there.
Do you know why? Because I feel like hairdressers get a bad rep for being scissor happy. And so I know for me, whenever I'm like, I know someone really needs a cut, I always try to make them feel comfortable because, like, you know, it's already a traumatic experience. I mean, I know I had a cut when I was, like, 9 years old and my hair's never grown the same way since. Like, you know when boys are, like, playing sports, they're like, yeah, you know, I could have been pro, but my ankle got hurt when I was younger. Yeah. I'm like, one bad haircut can take you out of the game forever. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
but
I know.
But I completely agree.
It's just like, okay, I'm done. I'm not. That was not part of the plan.
Okay, cool. So we're back. You've got your appointment, you're waiting, you've cut your hair. Mm-hmm. Have you seen a dermatologist yet? Was this like last year, I'm guessing?
Yeah, so this is last year, the 5th of September was my appointment. I remember on the 4th of September, they called me at work to say they're trying to cancel it and reschedule it till January. I was like, what? Yeah, January. I was, oh my gosh. So I literally threw a fit at work. I was not happy. And then people could see like, what is wrong with, like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I think only two people knew. And my manager, I had to tell my manager, because I had to pre-warn her, look, I might be having a lot of appointments coming up. This is why I'm wearing headscarves. This is what's going on. And I had to tell the person who was kind of like our HR as well, like, you know, because she needs to give me the time off to go.
Yeah.
So she was the only one that knew and what was happening. What I really didn't like was in 15 minutes later, they then called me back, say, oh no, it's fine. The clinic is back open again. Your appointment's back to normal. I just thought you can't play people's emotions like that. It was very strange. But anyway, went to my appointment. And from what I can remember, I'm not going to say a hospital or anything, but even like now, I just don't feel like nothing's really been done. So I remember the first appointment, she kind of looked at my scalp with her, like, just had a peek through with, like, her hands, like, having a look, and I kind of explained to her what happened. And she said, okay, well, I can't really see any scarring, so that's a good thing. I said, okay, so, you know, what is the problem? But she didn't really know. She wrote me a letter a couple of weeks later to explain
what she...
So she, you know, she wasn't sure what the problem was, but she did ask if I'd been under any stress, or if there is any trauma or anything like that. And, you know, I am studying for my master's at the same time as work. I was studying for my master's at the same time as working full time. So I did say to her, well, this happened like the first year I was on my master's. So maybe the shock of that could have been that. But I mean, I've been under a lot of stress and studies before and nothing's happened. So I don't know why that could have been it.
Yeah.
I also remember I did have braids over Christmas. So I don't know if that could have been the issue. I mean, I only had them in for 4 weeks, but maybe they were too tight. I really don't know. So I said, I gave her a few of these options. She wrote down a whole list of like a long prescription for me to, like, you know, go to the chemist and just get a few stuff at the hospital and then come back again. It wasn't until next year. That was my next appointment. Yeah. The stuff that she gave me didn't really do anything.
Do you remember any of the things that, like, what kind of things was it that you were given? So firstly, actually, were you given a diagnosis?
No.
Okay. And how long was your appointment?
15 minutes.
15 minutes. Okay.
Something like that. Yeah, not very long. No diagnosis. You know, is there anything like this in your family? And I mentioned I have one aunt that I think has alopecia, but I'm actually not sure. But that was it. So obviously she wrote a letter a couple of weeks later that was sent to my GP and also to me, explaining what she saw, no scarring, etc., and what she thinks the issue might be. She mentioned something about Teflon. I can't remember the exact word.
Telogenophobia.
That's it. So she mentioned that, and a miniaturization of, I remember that.
The follicles, yeah.
That was around like my edges. My edges have never been great, but it got a lot worse during this period as well. So I even mentioned that to her. I was like, I'm not saying my hedges are flourishing, but they never used to be like this. So those are the things she mentioned. She also mentioned that my scalp is quite sore, etc. So she gave me another ointment similar to what my doctor gave me. I didn't see the point of that, to like put on my scalp, and a few other like ointments and stuff, but that was it. Nothing else. And a shampoo, which really dried out my hair, but I felt I need to keep going with this because I need to try. And yeah, nothing worked at all. when from that first time. Yeah. And
so were you given like a follow-up or anything?
Yeah, like, so they wrote to me later on to write me a few weeks later to say that my next appointment was in January of this year. Yeah. And then I tried calling every time in between January and between September and December to try and get an early appointment.
Yeah.
There was nothing. So I didn't get seen again until January of this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the thing is, it seems like this has been dragging for such a long time. It's only just over a year, but I've only been seen twice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so, yeah, I went for my appointment again. I remember I was very angry because I waited an hour and 20 minutes for my appointment at the hospital, and obviously I had to go, I was like working that day as well, so I just remember going into my appointment in a very, very kind of bad mood and explaining to her everything that you've given me has not worked. And again, she, that appointment only lasted about 10 minutes. She just went through my hair again, having a little poke around sort of, and she again didn't know what the problem was. And so I told her I want a biopsy.
Yeah,
I said to her. She's thinking she suggested it in my first appointment, but I think the way she kind of described it really picked me off. So I was
how it was described to you.
Just first, she said it was the absolute. It's the absolute last resort. It's the last resort. And I thought, okay, really? Like that's the last, because it's a last resort, and you know we have to cut out a bit of your scalp, which sounded quite graphic and like just gruesome. And I just thought, okay, I'm not sure yet. But I remember when she did that first letter that she wrote to me and my GP, she said that I was not keen on doing one at all, which was not the truth. I was just not. It just didn't sound. You know, I wasn't too sure. And she told me it was the last resort. And so I demanded one in January and said, I want a biopsy, because if you're not going to tell me what's going on, you're making assumptions. I want to know what the actual problem is, because you're writing me long prescriptions. It's costing me a lot of money and nothing's working.
Yeah.
So she said, okay, that's fine. We'll do a biopsy for you. This time I want you to try minoxidil.
Right. Do you remember what strength of minoxidil you were prescribed?
Yeah, she wanted me to get the men's strength, men's one, 5%. And she wanted me to get breastfeeding tablets, Pregnacare. One, the Pregnacare brand, and she also prescribed me a different shampoo to the first one that she gave me.
Can you explain why you were prescribed Pregnacare? Were you pregnant at the time?
No, she just said pregnancy. She just said breastfeeding tablets are like the best to use rather than normal multivitamins.
Were you, from your blood results, did you have a deficiency?
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot to mention that. So from my blood results, sorry. My first appointment, she did actually make me do a very comprehensive blood test, more so than the one at my GP. And it came back that my GP already identified that I was low on vitamin D.
Okay.
So I started taking vitamin D tablets. And then when they did at the hospital, my vitamin D hadn't improved. And they also found that I was low on some sort of iron. So now I'm on femurate tablets as well.
Right.
And so I've just been on them continuously. And when I went in January, she still said I need to just keep taking them, as well as taking these multivitamins, the Pregnacare ones that she's recommended to me. And she also recommended two different ointments to use on my scalp as well, again for the inflammation. That's what she prescribed to me back in January. But the minoxidil, I was very, very apprehensive to use.
Why were you apprehensive to use the minoxidil? What had you heard, or what had made you feel maybe a little bit uncomfortable about it?
I've heard, especially because she prescribed it in men's strength. That's the men's one. That's what made me even more kind of apprehensive. But I read that you could grow facial hair. That was the main thing. There's a lot of side effects, such as headaches and just lots of different things that I'd read. And also the main one was that when you stop using it, your hair will fall out again because you become used to it. And I just thought, I can't go through that again. And I don't want to...
Did the doctor, did you talk to her about it? No. Did she just kind of prescribe it? And then that was kind of like it? You didn't get to talk about any of the effects?
No, it was a very rushed appointment. I came out feeling even angrier than when I went in. It was very, very rushed appointment. She didn't explain it to me. I had to call back. This is in January, and I didn't purchase minoxidil until maybe about a month and a half later. And I remember I had to leave a message for the secretary at the hospital to say, can the dermatologist please call me back? Because I need to discuss this with her about my concerns about using this, because she didn't really give me any advice. And I don't want to use the men's strength either. She called me back and she just said, I know, you know, it's, everyone reacts differently. Your hair might not fall out and you might not grow it. Like, it was just very relaxed. Don't worry about it. Just purchase it. It's fine. Nothing will happen to you. So I did purchase minoxidil at the beginning of February, but I didn't buy the men's one. I bought the women's instead.
Okay, so that's like the 2%.
I know there's a women's 5% out there.
Okay.
Actually. Yeah, so I bought that one and I've been using that since February. And it hasn't worked. I mean, it's not been long, but I've not seen any improvement apart from I did
February, was it March, April, May? 3 months now.
Well, May. Yeah. It's been 3 months now. I know you was meant to use it for longer, but I don't know. I personally haven't seen anything, but I have grown a bit of facial hair along the sides of my face.
So you're seeing the side effects, but not the main effects.
Exactly. And I used to get headaches. They've gone now. And then sometimes another thing that I used to get, I don't know, it sounds really weird, but when I would massage it into my head, I could taste it. I don't know if that's normal, but I could taste something whenever I put it on my head, like a really hot, something just really not nice to my mouth.
Yeah.
That stopped now completely, but the facial hair does still happen, but nothing.
Are you using the drops or the foam?
The foam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, it seems like you've just had such a rough time. Like, we've only spoken about, like, I guess the last few months of your journey, but I'm sure there's like a lot more, because you said at the beginning that you'd been to see a trichologist, so there's a whole you know, preceding thing that happened that would have led you to go and see them first. And so it feels like you've kind of been, I guess, a little bit let down by all the professionals that have been there to help you.
Definitely. And actually, I decided to see, I finally took the step to see another trichologist. When did I see her? So when in September, after my first appointment, I just knew that this is going to be slow. So I started to think more and more, maybe I should see another one, try and do a bit more research, see if I could find somebody that I might, you know, just to see if I could find somebody else. And I did, I did find one, and I did go and see them in November of last year. And I explained, you know, just what happened in my first appointment at the hospital. And she was lovely, really, really nice. And you know, she didn't push anything on me to purchase anything, unlike the first one where they wanted you to buy everything. She didn't push anything on me. She you know, she made me bring in the stuff that the doctor, the dermatologist had prescribed to me to make sure it might not counteract anything she may want to give me too. So she also suggested to me there's some like hair pills that she wanted me to try. So I thought, okay, I'll just give those a go. And there was also some other kind of cream she gave me. I don't know what it's not really creamy texture. It's like a jelly texture, which she now told me was similar to minoxidil. Because I also emailed her when the dermatologist told me about minoxidil to get her advice as well, to see what she thought. And it turns out that what she gave me was actually similar to it, but that didn't work either. And neither did the pills, unfortunately. But what's happened is that because of COVID, I was meant to have my biopsy on April 14th, but that's been cancelled. That's been
rescheduled.
And I also had a follow-up appointment. I think it was meant to be a follow-up appointment with my results in the end of May, but that's also been cancelled and rescheduled to July. So I now know that's not going to, I can't do anything about that. And obviously I can't have a follow-up appointment with that trichologist I saw, because I'm assuming she's not seeing anyone either. So I'm kind of left hanging again, like when I was last year when I had that referral, I suppose.
So what has your relationship been like with your hair during lockdown, because you've been at home for like maybe 2 or 3 months now? And I guess you had all these things looking like to look forward to, like, okay, you know, the biopsy coming, the follow-up, you know, I've got these products to use in the meantime. What has it been like? A client, I guess you can't really get in touch with those people either.
No, exactly. So, again, after my first appointment last year, I hadn't still done anything to my hair. I kept it kind of low, but I hadn't done anything. And I remember in November when I went to see the trichologist, I think when I got home a couple of days later, I called my cousin because he's really good at cutting hair. And I just said, just cut it all off. And so I've had a shaved head pretty much consistently since November of last year. It's only now in during lockdown that I've not done it. I mean, he doesn't live far, but I can't really, I don't want to, because it's like, you know, lockdown, I thought, let me just try and grow it out anyway. And because I'm using minoxidil, maybe it might be good for me to just see, you know, if this might, if it is working properly, rather than me shaving it all the time. So I've not shaved it since probably March, so April. Yeah. So it's been harder because I have to look at my hair every day.
And how does that make you feel seeing it every day?
Terrible. I don't like it, like at all.
What is it that you see that you don't like?
I just see that nothing's happening and there's been no improvement, and I'm not used to seeing it because I'm so used to cutting it at least every 2 to 3 weeks. So it's kind of the feeling I had last year of just feeling really down and stuff has kind of come back again because I'm having to look at this patchiness over and over again. So it's, and then I guess also, especially now with lockdown, especially if you go on social media as well and everyone's just doing stuff with their hair, and I can't do that because it's not possible. So it's been, it's been hard. Definitely.
And so on that note, like, I know you mentioned that you spoke to like your mum about it. Is this like something you've been able to like speak to like your friends or your family about, or like, I guess like when you're at home, do they get to see your hair? Like, what's it like your relationship with the people closest to you? Like, I'm guessing your cousin kind of knows what's happening as well.
He knows what's happening, and he's like, I don't think he even knows how like grateful I am to him, because he probably just thinks cutting my hair is nothing. But for me to have, because now I have that, I'm used to it. I'm not saying I like having a shaved head, but I'm used to it. And I think everyone's told me like it really suits me. So I'm all right with it now. But I think I don't think he really knows just how much of a help that's been for me.
Mm-hmm. And do you go to him to do it, or do you go to like the barbershop?
No, he comes here.
Okay.
He comes to my house and he like, I don't have to pay, like, he's great. He just brings his kit and he doesn't even his job, but he's just good at cutting hair. Mm-hmm. And so he just brings it and he cuts my hair, and I don't know, I give him a beer or something after, just to like say thank you. My mum's great as well. I think sometimes it's a bit much because she always sends me stuff like on WhatsApp.
Just what kind of things does she send you?
It's just like articles of use this oil and this thing and that thing. And I'm just like, you're the one telling me I need to let things, you know, work for 3 months, but you're sending me everything, like different things every single day. So like, how am I supposed to allow things to even like work if I'm getting loads of stuff every day? But in terms of just being able to talk to her, and even if it's just literally, if I get really teary, I'm getting a bit teary now because she's great, and she just listens to me about it. My friends, not, I haven't really mentioned it to them so much. If someone just asked me, oh, you just cut your hair, I was like, yeah, I just fancied a break and stuff. And I remember I went to Ghana last year on holiday, and that was a bit frustrating because all of my, like, everyone's just like, why did you cut your hair? Like, they didn't seem to understand why I'd cut it, and I wasn't going to tell them I'm suffering from hair loss. So it was just, the aunties anyway just didn't seem to understand why anyone would want to cut their hair. And I remember I was a bit annoyed because prior to, my dad was like, oh, don't worry, all the girls in Ghana have got shaved head now. And I got there and I don't know why everyone seems shocked to see my hair shaved. So yeah. It was just a bit, yeah.
So when people were asking, I can understand not wanting to like having to like keep on bringing up the same, like having the same discussion over and over. But did you feel like you couldn't say it was from hair loss?
I just didn't. Maybe I could, but I don't know. With the way my mum sends me stuff, it's like, I'm grateful. I just felt like they would be doing the same.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just, I can understand. Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't feel the need to tell them. I think it's literally just my mum, my dad, my sister knows, and that's it really, and maybe one or two friends, but I don't bring it up with them constantly, so they might have even kind of forgotten that I'm going through this. So
do you feel like you get all the emotional support you need from like your immediate family, or do you wish there was like, I don't know, because I know that it can be hard, like when you tell someone something that they try and help you to solve it. So
yeah,
I guess it's that fear of getting the influx of like, you know, products and suggestions and things like that. But do you feel like you could just talk to them and be like, look guys, today I'm just feeling really sad about my hair, and you know, I don't want you to do anything, I just want to be able to like talk?
I think maybe at the beginning when I first started to notice it, probably more so then. Now I don't know, because it's been over a year. I don't know if it sounds like it's like a tired conflict. I'm not actually sure. I'm not that type of person anyway, really, to express myself like that. So I tend to keep things to myself in general. I think I do know that if I am feeling down, like I've got a lot of other things going on, like in my life in general, at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
So I do know that if I'm feeling down, my mum might see me feeling down. Like I don't live with her, but if I'm on the phone, she might hear me feeling down. She does know that one part of that is because of my hair.
Yeah.
And then now it's because I think with everything that's going on, it's started to break a lot as well, which I never really saw. But it's actually, I'm starting to see it physically break. So I think it's that stress as well. It's just now I'm like, oh my goodness, it's breaking and there's nowhere to go. So it is, it's a lot harder during lockdown now, having to see it every day, seeing it breaking. But I don't know. I do kind of wish maybe there was someone else I could talk to about it. But
yeah,
it's a weird one. But at the same time, I'm not that expressive about my feelings in general. So it's a bit, of both.
And so I guess now with like social media, there's more like online communities and stuff. Like I haven't, like you're not one of my patients. You're not someone that I've seen for like to help with your hair loss. But like I guess you found my page, like how does that kind of thing help, or like do you follow other pages that talk about hair loss and maybe like groups and stuff? Like have you used the online world, Twitter, Instagram, those kind of places to try and I guess build a support network, maybe not like individually like you directly talking to people, but seeing other people's experiences?
I'm trying to a little bit more. I'm also starting to follow a lot of women that have shaved heads, because I am starting to think if this isn't going to come back again, I need to get used to the fact that this is going to be my hair for the rest of my life. I'm trying not to think negatively, but I have to also be, realistic that if it's not going to grow back, I need to just get used to this. I'm kind of following more ladies who have like shaved heads. I don't think I've gone out my way too much to try and follow other, because I don't know what's wrong with me either. That's the thing. I don't actually know what the problem is. If I could maybe follow people that actually, if there was an actual diagnosis.
You could kind of search for the name.
Yeah, and I don't want to scare myself by following, and it might sound that maybe scare isn't the right word. I didn't mean it like that, but I don't necessarily want to follow.
It can be scary. I think the first thing I tell my clients is that when I give you a name or a diagnosis, if I can, don't go to Google and look at pictures.
It looks horrible.
Yeah. And I try to like even refrain from showing certain things, because when you just see it up front, it's like, oh my god, is this what my hair is going to look like? Or it can look really, I guess, alarming.
That's the thing.
Do a thing to like, we try and cover it or keep it hidden and stuff. We don't see it until maybe it's like really, really bad, and or like end stage, or like when it's like more permanent damage has been caused.
Yeah.
And I guess it's kind of hard then to be like, oh my god, is this going to be my reality, or like what do I do then? And I completely understand what you mean about scare yourself.
Yeah, so that's why, like, because I don't actually know what's wrong with me. I'm not necessarily going out my way to kind of follow pages, because that could not, that might not be what's going on, and so I don't know if that's right, if that's healthy for me to kind of do that. So there's a few kind of social media people that I follow that have suffered from alopecia, etc., and that kind of thing. But no, I follow a lot of trichologists. I follow a lot of black trichologists, actually.
Yeah.
That's something it's just good to have that there anyway, to just kind of see what they have to say. Yeah. But not so much, no.
And so the two trichologists that you saw, were they black, or like the dermatologist, was anyone black with afro hair or had experience with afro hair?
Yeah, so the first trichologist that I went to, they meant to specialize in afro hair. I think I was just, when I got there, I was like, oh, okay. It was strange because, and I've noticed a lot of comments on, their reviews are very mixed. For some people, it's worked well for them. For others, they had exact same experience as me. I went there and I just felt like everything that she was preaching to me was kind of the opposite of what she did or what they had. Like she would say that relaxing isn't great, but her hair was relaxed, and they would offer relaxing services there. She would then say that, I know that using too much oil on your hair isn't great, but she just said that as black women you shouldn't be using oil on your hair at all, which didn't, this is why I think my hair struggled with the the products that they gave me.
Well,
it was just, their hair didn't look like mine. That was it, basically. Her hair just did not look like mine at all. So I just, that part kind of just...
So do you feel like there was like maybe an element of distrust on your side that like maybe they weren't, I guess, capable of giving you the care that you needed?
That's what I felt like, yeah, for definitely. And it just seemed to, everything they said seemed to counter what I've been kind of read or, you know, kind of seen online and stuff like that. So the next psychologist I went to, she's also, she also specialised in black hair, but I had so much more trust in her, definitely. I felt like she, just her approach was completely different to what was told to me at the first psychologist I went to. She also said I had a bit too much oil in my hair, but just cut it down, not completely stop it. And I said, okay, that's fine. That makes more sense rather than completely, you know, not doing it anymore. Dermatologist at the hospital, she's, I don't know, she's not black. So I don't know where I could ever find it. I don't know if I could find a black dermatologist in the hospital. I don't know where that could be. So I don't know. There's nothing I can do about it. The odd thing is, though, at my workplace, there was a lady that started where I was working, and she was also suffering from hair loss as well, which that was actually one thing I forgot to say. She was someone I could talk to about it, because we're both kind of going through the same thing. But her dermatologist at the hospital she went to was black. And also, everything seemed a lot more accelerated for her. She was getting appointments quicker and that kind of thing. And I remember actually going back to my GP to say, why am I waiting 5-6 months for appointments? And there's someone else that is getting appointments like really quickly.
But did you ever find out what the reason was with the lady?
I even met with him with a list of hospitals that I thought would do a better job than what my one was doing. Because mine, the one I'm going to, actually has the habit of trying to cancel my appointments like they did that first time. Mm-hmm. And he just said, no, because we can't do that because I'm, you know, because of the area that you live in, you can't just pick and choose which hospital you want to go to. It's a really long thing.
Yeah. So quickly, let me go back to the lady at your workplace. So how did you, I'm trying to imagine the scene. I'm a very visual person. So I imagine like, you know, I don't know, did you look eyes across the cafeteria and be like, okay, like, I see you, like, what's going on?
It was a very, very,
very like personal subject. It's like, how do you even go up to someone and be like, hey, my hair looks like yours or yours looks like mine? Like, do you know what I mean?
It was a very small team. I was made redundant in January, so that really has not helped my health or mental health in general, or my hair. So that was one thing I think that's also contributed to like it breaking. But it was a very small team. So I mean, there was like, we couldn't not see each other. How did we end up talking about it? I can't remember.
Were you like friends before, or was it like she was just like brand new?
She's brand new. She's only temporary, actually. Okay. It was a black lady. She's only temporary. And how did we, I think it was like the third day, and I remember I had to take the tube back to the office with her, and she was just saying, oh, like, you're really brave for like having the hair so low and stuff, and you know, I wish I could do that, because you wear a wig, but you know, okay, I can't and stuff, you know, because my hair has been falling out. So, oh, me too. And then I think that's probably how it started, actually. And her one was quite strange. She didn't realize what was going on with her hair. It was starting in the middle, and she said that her hairdresser just never told her.
Wow. So
yeah, and she was really angry because her hair just could have warned her and they didn't, and so it was not too late, but she just caught it at a really bad time and she realized what was going on. So
yeah,
that's her story. Yeah, but it was kind of
interesting how like it was just like an off the cuff kind of comment that allowed you guys to really like connect and I guess in some ways help each other, because you were able to see like, you know, all right, this is what her dermatology experience looks like, maybe I can seek some more answers or try and get something similar for myself.
It was. And I remember like she would, I think after my appointment in January, that was the day I was made redundant, so it was not a good day at all, actually.
Oh, wow.
I remember after my appointment in January, she was also, she came up to me and she just wanted an update on what happened in my appointment, and I told her about the minoxidil, and she said she'd been prescribed that as well. And I told her how I didn't want to use it. She was the one pushing me to at least give it a go. So it was just nice knowing that I could just, like talk to her about both our experiences and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
That's good. Amazing that you found her.
Yeah, it was just strange. You don't normally find that in an office. Very small team of like 10. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was good having her there for that part.
And so even after like you left that role, have you like kept in touch with her? Do you guys still talk about your experiences?
I haven't. I still actually have her number. I don't know why I haven't actually reached out to her. I probably should, but I guess we both might be in the same situation at the moment with just not being able to have any appointments and stuff. But it's actually a good point. I probably could definitely reach out to her and just find out how she's doing and if the minoxidil even worked for her or not.
Yeah.
I think the area where her hair loss is, I don't know. I feel like maybe minoxidil might work better. I'm not sure. Just based on what I've seen, it always seems to be in the crown in the middle of the head, and mine isn't there. My problem isn't in that area, so I'm not sure if that could have been the reason. But yeah, so.
You talked about your mom and possibly other people sending you like, I guess, remedies and things you could try. What things have you done yourself outside of like, you know, the prescribed medication you've been given either by a trichologist or the dermatologist or even your GP? What kind of things did you go and like seek out by yourself that were, you know, were able to or were meant to kind of give you some relief from the things you were facing?
So at this point, it's got to a point where I'm only just using the minoxidil and what's left from the hospital, that is, and the minoxidil and the shampoo that I have, because the ointments that she gave me, I was only meant to use it for 8 weeks. So the 8 weeks is long gone,
Oh God,
surpassed
yeah.
now. So what I was just at the moment now, I've just found some hair oil that I saw on Etsy. It's like an Ayurvedic one. It also has something called MSM in it.
Okay.
Which I kind of did a bit of research, and it's supposedly meant to like promote hair growth and stuff. But I just become quite skeptical about all of that now at the moment, because I mean I've tried so many different stuff in the past before, even before my hair loss, because I said my hair's quite thin anyway. Just like black castor oil, my hair's never taken to that, it never worked. I've tried lots of just different other kind of hair vitamins and all sorts of different oils and stuff, and nothing's really, my hair's just never really, it's never done anything for it. So the one I'm using now, I mean, I've been using it for just over, has it come to a month yet? I think I got it at the end of April. So one, two, it's been 3 weeks. So obviously I can't say, speak on anything. But it gets a bit frustrating, especially again when you go on social media and you see someone that's been using some oil. I always use that Edge Entity, sorry, that I saw that's been all over Instagram. That
Oh, I
kind of
haven't heard
works
of that
at the moment.
one.
Yeah, it's very, very popular, but it's I've used it twice, and it's just never worked for me. But you always
I
see
feel like
these
I might
people.
like bleep out the name. I don't
Yeah,
want people to go and start trying.
Edge Entity. It's like it's very, yeah, it's just meant to kind of replenish your edges in like 3 days or something like that. And
In
you
3
see some people,
days.
it's pardon?
In
Some
3 days.
people, that's the thing, like it's not meant to be necessarily 3 days, but you see some images of like, week one to week four, and it's there's been such a significant difference. Whereas when I've been using something diligently for like 3 months and nothing's happened.
Yeah.
So it's that doesn't like help either. I know everyone's like kind of journey and time is different, but I think if I've been using something 3 to 4 months, I just have not seen any changes at all. It's it doesn't really instill much confidence. So
No, I feel you, but with hair loss, it's like you kind of want to wait. Like the 12 weeks is kind of like the magic number where you're like, okay, this is like
yeah.
make or break time. And it seems like a really long time to wait. But if you think like most of the things you're taking are working internally, and so it's like making changes that your hormones, you know, your nutritional structures are things, and it's like, okay, that hair has to then grow.
Yeah.
And you want to see like how it takes, you know, will it be stronger? Would it be thicker than like, you know, the hair previously? That when like when you put it into like that kind of context, it doesn't seem like a very long time.
Time, yeah, that
Yeah.
is true. But yeah, the oil I'm using now, also, I mean, also said on her website, is meant to kind of calm down like scalp inflammation, because again, like my scalp has definitely not as sore as it was before. But it started to kind of irritate me a lot, so I'm gonna just stick to using this oil, for about 3 or 4 months until the bottle finishes, and just see if there's any changes. Because I mean, my appointment's not until July now, so
Is that the next one with the dermatologist?
I've got a while. But I don't know what to do. I've never been a product junkie. I'm not someone to buy loads of stuff. I don't like doing that, and I do, hair loss is just as expensive as keep maintaining your own hair as well. So
Yeah.
it's, I don't want to keep buying so much different stuff. But I don't know. It is exhausting. That's the only thing I'm using, just the minoxidil and the oil. The minoxidil is going to finish soon. The dermatologist only wanted me to use it for 3 months, but I found a deal for a 4-month pack. So I thought I'll just use it till it, for the 4 months. So it'll end next. It'll finish in June, and then that's it, I think.
Right.
I'm not keen on using it again.
So what are you hoping for like your next appointment?
I'm hoping for the biopsy to happen. And I'm just hoping that they're going to be able to I just want to know if it's going to come back or not. That's it. I just want to know what the problem is and if my hair is going to grow back or not. If it's not, I don't know. I guess I could live with that. It's just, yeah, I just want to know what's going on and if it's going to grow back or not. That's the main thing. I think what she kept telling me, there's no scarring. It's giving me hope, but
yeah,
I'm not, I don't know what that means because I just can't, sometimes the scalp feels so shiny. I just don't know what you mean when there's no scarring. I actually just feel like anything's going on at all. So yeah, but I don't know if, I also don't know how scarring can be caused. So I'm also very worried about what I do to my hair. Like, am I going to cause any scarring, especially if I get sores on my head, does that mean it'll leave a scar? I don't know what it actually means, but these are things that she didn't really explain to me either. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Sorry, I'm just... Yeah. Mate, it's a lot that you've been going through.
It's a lot. I just don't know what to do, and especially during this time, there is nobody you can... I mean, I don't know if the clinic is open. I can't really call and talk to anyone. And I was even hoping that even if I don't have the biopsy, I really hope that they might be able to do like a Zoom thing. Because I know my sister's had an operation on her foot and she's having a Zoom call with her, like the surgeon or the doctor or whatever, just to see how things are going. And I just thought, well, at least even that would have been a helpful option. But no, just not at all. So...
Have they said they're not doing like any, like between the dermatologist and the trichologist, neither of them are doing online consultations at the moment?
I don't think so. My trichologist might be doing maybe doing online consultations. I may just need to double check. But also, I guess because I'm not working, I just need to double check that. I'll also be able to check with a follow-up appointment and stuff and if that costs anything. But with the dermatologist, no, they're not doing any online consultations at all. So yeah,
so you kind of like left in the lurch a little bit.
Definitely, yeah, left in the lurch. So I don't know what to do. If I'm even getting to a point that I think I might just want to cut my hair, because I left it to grow as well, because I knew I was gonna have my appointment, but now it's not happening and I don't like looking at it. It might just cut it as well. So I don't know what to do. It's just kind of, I'm just leaving it as it is, but it's, you know, there's not that much support at the moment because, again, I don't know what's wrong with me. So, yeah.
So for the people that are listening to this who may be experiencing something similar or who've had issues with their hair and don't really know what to do or who to turn to, what would kind of like be your advice?
I would say just try and find somebody that couldn't even possibly understand, or at least just there to listen, you know, because I've even had a friend that said, why can't you just get over it and forget about it? And I just thought, wow, like, you know, you can't say that to somebody until you're experiencing it for yourself.
Yeah.
So definitely just try and find someone that's just willing to listen, willing to talk to you, and also just try and get help. Even if I don't know if me ignoring it at the beginning would have made a difference or not, but even if you're finding something's just not right with your hair, just don't try and seek help as soon as possible. Just try and get help as soon as possible just to figure out what's going on, because it's just really important, I think, for your own like peace of mind and mental health to know what's going on inside your body and what's going on in your hair as well. But finding that, even if that one person to talk to, and that is my mum for me, I don't do it so much now, but even if it's that one person to talk to just let it all out, I think that's really, really helpful. Definitely.
Yeah. And then I guess like maybe like to someone who's got an appointment coming up or who's worried about different treatment options, how do you feel like they can get the best out of the time they spend with a professional?
Ask as many questions as possible. Don't feel like you're being rushed. If they're trying to rush you, just stick to don't feel rushed at all. If something pops into your head and you want to ask it immediately at that point, just do it. Because I think in my first appointment, I was just so nervous and quite emotional. I just left kind of feeling what happened, what went. I didn't even ask this and that question. I think go in there, ask the questions you might already have now, and if anything comes into mind, just keep going and keep asking, and get the number of the secretary, whoever it is, so you know you can always contact your dermatologist after to ask even more questions. Just don't feel rushed, and be very, very honest with them as well, and you know, don't let them kind of fob you off either. I think that's what I've also felt like in my past two appointments. So yeah, just don't feel rushed and ask all the questions that you want to. That you need.
Yeah,
I think that's what I would say. And also, I would say maybe also see a trichologist at the same time if you can. Definitely do your research with that. But I think that helps as well, just to see what they may have to say too.
Yeah, so you do see like the difference. What would you say that the main difference between the dermatologist and the trichologist is?
There's time. My trichologist, it was only meant to be an hour, but it was even longer because she, you know, she just felt really bad for me because I've explained everything that I just told you as well. I think there's definitely more time, especially if you see a black trichologist. You know, I just feel like they understand your hair a bit more, or a lot more, obviously.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I feel like, especially the one I saw, her approach is very holistic, and I quite like that, kind of the natural elements and stuff that she uses. I think another reason why I didn't want to use minoxidil is because it just looks very medical, if that makes sense.
And yeah, not no, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think that was just another reason, and I think they definitely, also they're, I find, I don't know the difference, but to me it just seems like they're more expert on hair, whereas I guess with a dermatologist, I'm not sure, I guess because of my scalp, that's why obviously that really helps with them looking, but I just feel like it's good to have two different people that, you know, one's looking at skin, one's looking at hair. I think that just really helps to, in terms of, they may not know each other, but in your head it can just bring everything together.
Yeah,
but it's just that time that you have a trichologist, I think it's just so much better, rather than that 10-15 minutes and then you have to leave, really.
Yeah, I guess it kind of like gives you a chance to kind of like air out everything you've been thinking and feeling, and like maybe get like a really deep explanation for everything.
Exactly, definitely. But my one said that, this is another thing, she wanted to know what my results on my biopsy would be as well before going for my follow-up appointments. That's another reason why I haven't really followed up with her, because I don't know, I haven't got anything to tell you. That's the thing. So I don't want to kind of waste my follow-up appointment if I haven't got anything to give back to her. So that's the thing. But I definitely just think it's good to see both if you can, because you get that time, you get to ask a lot of questions as well. Sure. So I think that's the best thing. But and just don't feel, obviously I tell myself this, but just don't try not to feel too down. As well, I would say, and just do whatever makes you feel comfortable. If you like to wear wigs and you prefer wearing wigs and that's what you want to do, then do it. And if you want to take the plunge and shave your hair off, it's not that bad, and it's so easy. You wake up in the morning, you have nothing to do, it's absolutely fine. And you know, you get to play around with like earrings, and I like wearing, like, I love makeup and stuff, so now I get to like do it even more and that kind of thing, so it's great. But I think that's what I would say, just do whatever makes you feel comfortable, for sure.
Cool. Thank you so much for talking with me today and sharing, like, you know, your story. Because again, I just listening to you, like, it's things that I hear all the time, mm-hmm. but I don't get to, like, you know, I guess I don't really get to connect my patients that well and help them to understand, like, you know, this is what to expect when, like, you know, this happens. Like, I try to prepare them as much as possible for dermatology or GP appointments and stuff, but hearing it from someone who's actually going through it always kind of like helps people to, I guess, feel a bit more seen and understood.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that there's going to be people that are like, yes, I completely get it. Like, you know, I'm glad it's not just me that felt this way. And yeah, and I'm wishing you all of the luck with your upcoming appointments. Please do reach out to the lady that used to work with you and your trichologist. I'm sure that they can, like, I don't know, give you some advice in the meantime, or even your GP, just to kind of see if you can help, what they can do to help before
in the meantime. Yeah, I will. I think just everything, what's happening now has just slowed everything down, I suppose. Yeah. So, you know, I know this probably may not have been the case in general, but I know going to my GP would have been a long process anyway, but yeah, this has definitely slowed everything down. But Yeah, I will reach. I actually will reach out to a lady at my workplace because it would be good to just have a chat with her. Thank you for suggesting that too, actually. I don't know. I just hope everything gets resolved because, especially just, you know, I'm 28, like all my friends are just doing things with their hair, and I'm just like, I don't know. It's like, I can't really do anything. I don't know. It's just, I look back at pictures and I'm just like, wow, like in the space of just over it, because in January of last year my hair was fine, so it's it's just that sharp change. I'm still trying to get over it, but hopefully.
I've just thought of something that I didn't get to ask you. For people who have friends or family who are currently experiencing hair loss, mm-hmm. what's the best way to support them? So like, I guess say like your friends were listening to this or members of your family, how would you want them to respond to you after this?
I think just be there for them. I think that would be the main thing. Just be there for them. And I honestly would say just don't bombard them with treatments and stuff. It's frustrating. I know you may see something and you think, oh, this could be amazing. But trust me, we've probably seen it. We've probably looked through it ourselves and looked into it. Can be a bit much if you're just sending lots of different stuff. So I think just be patient and just be there for them. And if they ask you for something, then, you know, if they ask you for a bit of advice or, you know, if you could look in something for me, then maybe do it that way. But I think the best thing is just to just be there for them. And, you know, if they need to talk or if they just get upset or, you know, start crying or anything, that's just be patient. But I would definitely say the throwing things of, you know, try this and try that and try that, I've not personally found it particularly helpful. We've seen it before. So I just definitely just say, just be there. And if they ask for something, then maybe be receptive to that, but you know, the other way.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Thank you again. I really, really, really appreciate
That's
it.
Thanks for doing this. It's really important. And I thought this would really help me as well, talking to you. So thank you so much.
Oh no, you've done me like the biggest honor, like just by sharing your story and just being so transparent.